Okay, well, let us continue in the theme that we've been on for 2 weeks, talking about Elijah, and read from Luke chapter 1, verse 17. We've read this verse, I think, every week, but let's read it again. Luke 1:17. Now, this is the angel bringing the prophetic word to Zechariah. Amen. Zacharias, husband of Elizabeth, and a priest in the temple at that time. He was doing his duty as a priest. And the angel is talking about the child that shall be born. Name's John, name will be John. And he shall go before him. Before him. Who the him is the Messiah. The Christ, okay? He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. Well, we understand that there are three Elijahs. There's the natural Elijah. We're going to look at him today, a historical man. There's a spiritual Elijah, and that was the prophecy that the angel was giving to Zacharias, that his son would be coming as a spiritual Elijah. In fact, Jesus said, if you can receive it, this is Elijah. And he was talking about John. But when the disciples asked him about why did the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said, Elijah shall come, but also Elijah is come. So, past, present, and future. There's still a coming Elijah, and it's not just a one-man ministry. It's a body ministry. It's an Elijah company. We can give it many names. We can say the Elijah company. We can call it the man-child. We can call it the 144,000. We can call it the first fruits company. We can call it the Sons of God Company. Amen. So Elijah is coming, and I believe that God is preparing this Elijah Company in our day, in our generation. And it would seem that his coming is very soon when we look at the signs that are going on in our day and in the world. So let us turn then to the book of Kings and see what we can see, what we can learn from this original Elijah. In other words, this Elijah company is also going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, this company is then the fullness. We have the natural, we have the spiritual as John the Baptist, and now we have what is coming as the fullness. So the fullness will encompass all that we know, and then some, of the spirit and power of Elijah. Now that word power is the dunamis, okay? It's the actual working, the miracle working power. It includes the authority of the Word of God. Amen. So who was this man Elijah? So we saw last week that he came to the widow's house, and Jesus said there were many widows in the days of Elijah, but unto none was he sent except to a widow of Zarephath. And we know that that was basically Jezebel's hometown. And so this Elijah company, We see the first time Elijah is mentioned. In other words, Elijah, the ministry of Elijah was hidden away. Nobody knew anything who this Elijah was until it was time for God to bring him forth. And when the time came, the Lord told him, he said, go and present yourself before Ahab. And here's what I want you to say to Ahab. And of course, you see, Ahab was the king. He was the political ruler. He was the military power, whatever he was. Supreme power, along with his wife Jezebel, of all of Israel, which is the northern kingdom. And I believe that this power and might company of Elijah is going to confront the powers that be. And I'm thinking, well, how in the world are we going to do that? If we're going to be in Elijah company, how are we going to do that? Let me ask you, have any of you had an audience with the supreme ruler of your state or your government or whatever? Mike, have you met the governor of California and shook his hand and give him a word? No, you probably haven't done that yet, have you?
Nope.
Well, I haven't met the governor of New York. I haven't met Trump. I don't expect to have an opportunity to do so unless the Lord makes that opportunity. So I don't know how Elijah found Ahab, but it says Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Somehow the Lord arranged for him to come to Ahab. Now, if we look at the natural history here of Elijah and Ahab, there were not one, but there were several occasions when he had a confrontation with Ahab. And I believe that Ahab was actually looking to kill Elijah. I really believe he was. When the Lord told him finally to now go and see Ahab again and tell him that to bring this time of tribulation, this 3.5 years, to an end, he met Obadiah, who was the second, he wasn't really the second in command. He was just the servant of Ahab, kind of a trusted servant. And I'm amazed at the things that Ahab thought about, or I mean that Obadiah thought about Elijah. And it says here in verse 10 of chapter 18, he said, he met Obadiah, and Elijah said to Obadiah, I want to talk to Ahab. Tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Obadiah sincerely believed that Ahab was such a man with such a hot temper, considering Jezebel, his wife. Jezebel surely had heard about Elijah. She had heard about the prophecy. They'd been living in this tribulation now for 3.5 years. And Obadiah said, oh, you're going to send me back to Ahab and tell him that Elijah is here? And then he said, what have I done wrong? You're trying to get me killed. And as the Lord liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, there he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. Well, there he was, right up a little bit north of there in Jezebel's hometown. So they were looking for him, not to have a nice interview with him, but they were looking with him because they wanted to kill him. All right, no, so Elijah said to Obadiah, well, he said, look, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, and listen to this. Verse 11. And now thou sayest, go and tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, then he will slay me. But I am thy servant and the Lord from my youth. So, So Obadiah had, somehow the people had the impression already of Elijah that he was under the protection of the Lord, and if need be, the Lord would just catch him away somewhere. Do anything to protect him. In other words, it was already, I don't know how, but it was already understood that he was under the almighty hand of God. Brethren, are we getting used to being under the protective hand of God? You know, that's where we're going to be. You know, I tell you what. Every time we leave the house, every time Rita and I leave the house, we pray. Sometimes before we get in the car, sometimes right after we're in the car. And we pray for the mighty hand of God to be upon us, that nothing can touch our car, nothing can touch us. Amen. Now, I believe that we're going to have to be in that place. And so we might as well get used to it. Elijah apparently knew that. Now, another thing that Obadiah told him, I don't know where it is here, and he said, Obadiah said, I surely have a reputation with Jezebel. Surely she's been trying to kill me too. Surely she knows that when she put out the word to kill all the true prophets of the Lord in the land, surely she know that I rescued 100 of them, and I put them in two different caves, in groups of 50, and I saw it too that they were fed and that they were taken care of throughout this whole terrible time that we've been living in. So I have a reputation too, with Jezebel. Somehow Ahab is putting up with me. He's not ready to kill me quite yet. I must be doing something right with him. So in verse 16 it says, so Obadiah went and met with Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet with Elijah. Now, Elijah surely has to have enough of, what shall I say, enough personal strength in his soul to know that he can meet with Ahab and that he's not going to be killed, that he is a servant of the Lord and that nothing can happen to him that the Lord does not permit. So here it comes to Ahab. Now listen, here's his first, well, I would say first, not really first, second encounter with Ahab. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Well, okay, we're looking at that Elijah company that's coming, the company that is coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. What kind of a reputation then are we going to have? Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Do I dare say it? The powers that be in our land, we happen to have right now a very outspoken man of great power, much more than the man that he replaced. I can just hear him, somebody confronts him like that. I can just hear, I mean, it's going to be all over the internet, all over these websites, whatever. What do they call these things that people put these little, what's the generic name for them?
Podcasts,
social media. They've got a whole bunch of names. Some of them are named X, I guess, or something like that. But, you know, somebody with a lot of power puts out a word on these things, and within minutes, it's all over. Everybody knows about it. It's coming up on your phone. It's coming up on your laptop. This kind of word spreads fast. So immediately, somebody is going to get this Elijah company and say, they are the cause of all our trouble. And you know, when those that hate the word of the Lord, maybe I should say the leftists who hate the word of the Lord, when they see this, they're going to believe that what they should do is they should come out and assassinate these people. I mean, they've done it already. The thing has already begun. They're going to try to do this. And this is why we need to refer back to Revelation chapter 11. If any man shall try to hurt them in any manner, to kill them, to hurt them. In other words, they, for 3.5 years, they cannot be hurt. They cannot be killed. They're under the divine protection of the Lord. They're hidden in the secret place of the Most High where they cannot be touched by the devil. Oh, hallelujah. The rules are going to be changed. Up until that time, when the devil wanted to take them out, he'd take them out. There were martyrs. There's hundreds, there's thousands of martyrs that have shed their blood, that are under the altar, and they're crying unto the Lord, how long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, till you recompense what's been done to us. All right, well, let's just study Elijah here for a little bit. And so the word that Elijah gave Ahab then at this time, and it amazes me that Ahab decided to follow him. He said, come on, here, let me read it to you. Amen. He said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And that's Jehovah he's talking about, not just any God. Amen. And thou hast followed Balaam. Now, therefore, send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. All right, now wait a minute. How many prophets of Baal were there? 450. And the prophets of the groves. Now these are Jezebels. This is Baal and Ashtoreth, the combination, male and female. And Jezebel had 400 that eat at Jezebel's table. Now, that doesn't mean they literally eat at her table. That means she takes care of them. She feeds them. These are Jezebel's false prophets, 400. So he said, invite 850 of them to come to the party. Well, okay, Ahab sent, gathered them all together. And Elijah, by the way, Jezebel didn't send her 400 prophets. I believe they were under Jezebel. I believe these others were under Ahab. He had control of them, and he brought his 450. So Elijah brings the whole congregation together. Now, we're talking about the spirit and power of Elijah. This is the power of the word. I mean, John the Baptist had the power of the word, the anointing, the unction. What was that one song that Rita brought up this morning? By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the anointing, it's going to move the hearts of people. So Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, if Jehovah is God, amen, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. My goodness, the people answered not a word. And Elijah said to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Now, by the way, Elijah should have known better than this. Obadiah just told him that he'd been feeding 100 of them in the cave that Jezebel was trying to kill. Elijah just heard that. He should have known that he wasn't the only one. Amen. Nevertheless, it was a small remnant. And so Elijah said, here's what we're going to do. I'll kind of summarize it here. Bring two bullocks. You know what a bullock is. It's a cow. Amen. Bring two cows. Amen. Give them one. Bring one over here to this altar. Cut them up. Put wood underneath them. But don't put any fire on the wood. Okay? Then you're 450. Call upon the name of your God. Amen. And call down fire. And the God that answers by fire, let him be considered the true God. So Elijah told them, choose your bull, choose your cow, fix it all up. And they took the bullock, which was given to them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until evening, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor was there an answer. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's walking, he's gone on a walk somewhere, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or maybe he's asleep and needs to be woken up. So wake your God up. Come on, get him back here, and let's get some fire. So they cried aloud. They cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out of them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. No Baal. Amen. By the way, who is the God Baal? Is there such a thing? What's the devil? If there's any God, Baal, it's of the devil's kingdom. But you know what? He didn't have any power here today at all, did he? No power, no fire. Amen. So Elijah said to the people, all right, come on near. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Apparently there was an altar up there somewhere up on Mount Carmel. I don't know how it got there. I didn't look up the history of that altar, but he repaired it. He took the 12 stones representing the tribes, put them back together. Amen. And then he began to dig a trench around the altar. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid the bullock on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, wait a minute. 4 barrels with water, and they're up on the top of Mount Carmel, and they haven't had rain for 3.5 years. It would seem to me that water is pretty scarce right about now. Nevertheless, they found the water. Maybe there was a well nearby. They found the water and they poured it. They thoroughly soaked the wood. They soaked the burnt sacrifice of the wood, and do it a second time, and do it a third time. It says, and the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. So there was a moat, a little moat, a trench of water completely around this altar, the sacrifice altar. All right. And let it be known this day, he's praying, that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. You know, it's amazing that Elijah always adds that to everything that he says. Not only does he pray for God to act, but he also prays, Lord, let it be certified that I'm your servant. Okay? Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. What is the ministry again of Elijah? It's turning the hearts of the people, turning them back. My goodness, when I read the news today, oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, it's grievous. The hearts of the people are so turned away from God. And it's not only the world, but it's the hearts of many, many people who say they're Christians. They just don't have a heart for the Lord. So Elijah is praying now that whatever is going to happen today is going to turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord. Now, listen, you're among these people. You're among this crowd. I don't know how many are in this crowd. Yesterday, Rita and I went to Lowville. It's a village, and they had a cream cheese festival. And they made a great big cake of cream cheese. It was, 8 feet by 10 feet?
It was
10 feet by 30 feet long. They had made a bigger one last year because somebody in Russia had made a bigger one. So they had to go and capture the world record again, the Guinness Book of Records. So they made this humongous cream cheese. By the way, little village of Lowville has the largest Kraft cream cheese factory in the world, the largest one. So they celebrate that every year in the village. Well, they shut down, I don't know, from one stoplight way up half a mile up the street to another one. And it was just filled with people and little booths, people selling this, selling that, and another thing. And we got in the car and we left, and I said to Rita, how many people you suppose were there just milling about on these streets? I'm thinking, well, how many did they serve, Rita? They served 3,500 little dishes of cream cheese. So I said to Rita, well, you know, there were probably more than 3,000 people there. How many people do you suppose there were here now? I'm thinking about Elijah. 3,000, it's a pretty big crowd of people. I don't think everybody in Israel was there, but I think Elijah had a pretty big crowd of people. And I couldn't help but think of, I believe the day is going to come when the sons of God are going to, we're going to be scattered all over the world, brethren. We're going to be scattered all over. Amen. Brother Allen and the brethren over there in the Philippines, they're going to be doing mighty works of God. Brother in California, brother in Canada, Nigeria, God is going to have sons all over in this mighty company. And, you know, the world is going to know, the crowds are going to see what's going to happen. Now listen, imagine that you're in this crowd. You're standing right near this altar. You're not very far away from Elijah. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. Come on, this fire burned the stones, consumed the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Can you imagine standing maybe 20 feet away from that altar and that fire is coming down from heaven? And it isn't just a bolt of lightning, it's a continuing fire. And it continues until it consumes everything that's there. I'm thinking, man, I would be terrified. I would be on my face. I tell you what, I'd be crying out for mercy from God. And I believe this is the effect that it had upon these people. I believe they saw and knew the demonstration. Isn't it amazing the short attention span that people have? A million, how many people was it? More than a million people come out of Egypt. They saw the miracles. They saw the Red Sea parted. I mean, parted. The wind blew, the water was stacked on each side. I don't know how deep it was right there. It had to be at least 30, 40, 50 feet deep where they crossed. They get across on the other side, and they're ready to build a golden calf and say, "This is the God." The golden calf, Baal, didn't do a thing for them. How quickly they forget. Well, they remembered now. Now Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Now, I don't think Elijah personally did this, but Elijah said, okay, this is what you've got to do. These are false prophets. They're against God. They're anti-Christ. Get rid of them. And they did it. All right. So, Elijah said to Ahab, now he's giving him a prophetic word. He said, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." There was no sound of abundance of rain. There was nothing in the natural that Elijah heard. He could not hear any rain, but it was a prophetic word. In the spirit, I hear an abundance of rain. There's an abundance coming. So he went up on the top of the mountain. By the way, do you know where Mount Carmel is? Did you ever look it up on the map? It's way up in the northern part of Israel, and it's right on the coast of the Mediterranean. I never looked it up before, I just thought, oh, it's some high mountain somewhere there. No, it's right on the coast. So Elijah went up there. He had his servant with him, and he put his head down between his knees, and he sat there, and he began to pray. And seven times he sent his servant, amen, go look out at the sea. And the seventh time the servant came back and said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Amen. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezebel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Well, this is something else that I never looked up before. I thought, oh, it was just a little hill. He ran down to the bottom of the hill, and there was Jezreel. You know, 100-yard dash. No, this was not a 100-yard dash. I looked it up on the map. It looks to be at least 15 miles to me. 15 miles. Hello? I don't know. Maybe Jeremy's in good enough shape that he could run that thing. I mean, I saw him do something close to that one time. What do you think, Mike? Larry, are you in shape enough that you could run and beat the horses down the mountain to Jezreel? No,
amen.
I don't think so. Not unless the Spirit, I mean, I'll tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord would have to get a hold of me pretty awful strong. And I would have to know that I was in the spirit and power of Elijah to do that. Now, listen, we're talking about things that are going to happen to this coming Elijah company. We're talking about a God who has no limit to the power that he can give when it's needed. Come on, brethren, are you going to be ready to partake of these things? Now, let's talk about a few other things about Elijah. And you know, it's almost impossible to talk about Elijah without talking about Ahab and Jezebel. So they went down to Jezreel, and wouldn't you know, Ahab told Jezebel. By the way, she missed the party, didn't she? I think that demon, that devil that controlled her, I think he knew what was going to happen. Ahab seemed to be clueless. Jezebel knew. I mean, she was really the witch. She was really the one that was in touch with the devil. And I think the devil told her, don't go. Don't let your prophets go. It's not going to be good. So Ahab told her everything that happened. Hey, man, we had a big party up there. Wow, I lost my 450 prophets. It's a good thing you didn't send yours up here, too. And, you know, it was Elijah that did it. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, messenger. Well, a messenger with a message. Amen. To Elijah saying, so let the gods, not Jehovah, just all these gods, Baal and Ashtoreth and however many others we've got, so let the gods do to me and more also. In other words, she's making a curse on herself. And what do you call it when you put out a contract? She's putting out a contract on Elijah. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. but came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. What's happening to Elijah? He's scared. Let me go back to the book of James. Now we need to understand what James is saying here. And if we're going to be an Elijah company in the fullness, then we're going to have to overcome everything in the soul that puts fear in us and choose the word of God above whatever fear we've got. James said, chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. How do we know that about Elijah? Because what I just read in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Jezebel put a contract out on him. She was the head honcho of the mafia. The mafia calls one of his hitmen, says, go see that guy. We're going to put a contract out on him. Tomorrow, you're not going to live anymore. And he ran. I mean, the man just saw 450 prophets of Baal slain. The power of the word. He saw fire come down from heaven. One of the most miraculous things that God had ever done in the sight of people. I mean, crossing the Red Sea. Okay, yes. But this was powerful. I mean, this would get the 6 o'clock news for sure. And yet he ran. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. All right, now here's the good news. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now that I didn't read. I read that he came to Ahab and said, according to my word, it's not going to rain. Neither rain nor dew. According to my word, until I say so. James said he had to pray to get that to happen. Well, James is the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord, according to James, he had to know that Elijah had to pray. He says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Earnestly. How about earnestly praying? Amen. Is there a difference between praying and praying earnestly? Yeah, apparently there is. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. There's another confirmation that this was a 3.5 year, I'll use the word harbinger of what's coming. 3.5 years, okay? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, we have the evidence that he prayed again. He had to pray, and he had to send the servant 7 times. All right. So he went down to Beersheba. If you look Beersheba up on the map, it's further south than Israel. It's into the Judah territory now. He's crossed over into the, it's no problem. And he left his servant there, and he's going further to Mount Horeb. Where did it say? Well, an angel came and fed him twice at least with food and water. And he went into the wilderness, and he came to Mount Horeb. You know, I can't find that Mount Horeb on the map. It seems that nobody really knows where that is. It's presumed that it's Mount Sinai. But we're not really sure. He went a long walk. What did he say, 40 days? It was more than 15 miles running down to Jezreel. It was a long ways. And as far as we know, he didn't have anything to eat during that period of time. And he went down there. It says he rose in verse 8 and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Probably down there at Mount Sinai. That might be where he went. Amen. And of course, he began to complain to God about how he was the only one, and he was very jealous of God, and there wasn't anybody else left. Oh, come now. He had just called thousands of people, and they repented. They went down on their face. They said, yes, he is God. And now Elijah is having a pity party. And Jezebel wants to kill me. Oh, Jezebel wants to kill me. Come on, he should have known God is greater than Jezebel. What is happening? A man of like, what did James say? Like passions. Brethren, if we're going to be sons of God, we're going to have to overcome passions. You know, okay, passions that are going to drag us down. Oh, yeah, there's good passions. It's good to be passionate toward the Lord, isn't it? But this was not a good passion. And God had to teach him some things. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great strong wind. Rent the mountains, break the pieces of the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Help me out here, somebody. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. You mean all that earthquake and fire and all that, that wasn't God? If it wasn't God, what was it?
The devil.
It must have been the devil. God must have given the devil an opportunity to make a big demonstration here. All right, devil, give it your best. I mean, break the rocks, shake things up, fire. But somehow Elijah had to be taught that was not God. Now, Elijah was used to hearing the voice of God. I mean, he's been making a lot of prophecy here. He's a prophet. But was he used to hearing the still small voice? They tell me that when the Lord spoke to these Old Testament prophets, it was pretty strong and pretty straight and pretty loud. I mean, we were reading the other day about old Balaam giving his prophecy. Well, this thing was so strong that it overcame everything that Balaam was thinking, and it kind of took control of his mouth, and he had to say what he didn't want to say. Now, was Elijah used to that kind of a power of God? But he wasn't used to hearing the still small voice. How many of you know let me ask you, how many of you have heard the still small voice of God? Yes, come on. We've heard that. And you know what? We're going to have to learn to hear that still small voice. I've heard the loud voice of God. I mean, the first time I really knew that I heard the voice of God, I was down on my face, and I was just broken. I mean, I was making so much noise with my mouth, and I said, God, I'm your son. I deserve to hear your voice directly. I shouldn't have to go and hear some prophet. I said, I am going to stay on this floor until I hear the voice of the Lord. I mean, that was a reckless statement. I mean, was I going to be there for a month? You know, God was merciful. He just put his trumpet right up to my ribs and he blasted the word right just as loud as he could. Will you bear with me a little while longer? All right, that wasn't a still small voice. That was a pretty loud voice. God help us to hear the still small voice. All right, so God gave him a bunch of instructions, all right, at this time. He said, now, you go up to Syria, to Damascus, and you're going to anoint a new king up there, Hazael. He's going to be the king up there. Just go up there and tell him that. Doesn't matter who the politician is up there. Just go up there and anoint Hazael. He's going to be the king. Oh, and there's going to be a new king in Israel. He'll be replacing Ahab. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And by the way, you seem to be getting into all these pity parties, and so we're going to get a young man here to take your place. His name will be Elisha. So you can anoint him too and begin to train him to take your place. So here, let me read this. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Going to be a lot of dead bodies. You know what I call it? Cleaning out the swamp. Jehu is a wild man cleaning out the swamp. Well, we've got a man down in Washington that's getting pretty wild. He's trying the best to clean out the swamp. And all these liberal judges are doing everything they can to stop him. But he isn't giving up. He's going after the swamp. Well, Jehu was a wild man. It takes a wild man to clean the swamp out. Now, by the way, you're thinking you're the only one? I have left me 7,000 in Israel. 7,000. See, Rita and I figure we must have seen at least 3,000 people there. The crowd would have had to have been at least more than twice the size that we saw yesterday. 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed to Baal, all right, in other words, by force or by willingness, they have not bowed the knee, they will not bow, and every mouth which has not kissed Baal. Two things here, bowing the knee and kissing the Baal, kissing the God. You might bow the knee because you have to, or you think you have to. Well, it's the law. You know, we're being forced to do it. Oh, we're going to be in a lot of trouble if we don't do it. You know, I guess we're going to have to do it. Come on, bow the knee. Yeah, Rita just says Mordecai didn't bow the knee, did he? Boy, and Haman, is that... Haman didn't like that at all. But Mordecai wouldn't have kissed him either, would he? Kissing means what? intimate. It's your heart is in it, you know? You love it. I mean, you're a true liberal. You're a far left liberal when you've not only bowed the knee to it, but you're ready to kiss it. You're ready to die for it. You're ready to go on a demonstration. You're ready to be arrested. It doesn't matter. No, I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. How are we doing with time here? Oh my goodness. All right. So first thing he does is he goes up, he finds Elisha. Elisha was a farmer plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Do you know what a yoke is? Mike isn't on his head. You ever drive 12 yoke of oxen, Mike?
No, all I've ever done is seen a few of those wooden yokes at a flea market.
Well, I saw somewhere, I don't know, years ago, somewhere I went, they had a demonstration, and somebody had trained oxen, and the wooden yoke, there's two oxen, one on each side. And they had trained these oxen. They were doing very well, and they're very strong. They can pull a plow. The Amish don't use oxen. They use these great big Belgian workhorses. And I've seen some of these Amish out in the field with as many as four big Belgian workhorses side by side pulling on the plow. I mean, it takes a lot of strength to turn over the soil. Elisha had 12 of these two ox yokes. In other words, there were 24 oxen in 12. 12 of them were pulling plows, and they were, I mean, this must have been a big farmer. I mean, he had a lot of acreage that he was working here, and it must have been Elisha's father, because he had the liberty then to kill the oxen and take the yoke and everything and make a sacrifice out of the oxen. Well, what happened is Elijah just went past it. He somehow he knew this was Elisha, just threw his mantle over on him, and instantly when that mantle hit him, he said, whoa, wait a minute. Give me a chance to tell my father and mother goodbye, and I'm leaving town. I'll join you. What else are we talking about? We're talking about this Elijah company that's coming. Come on, there is going to be an anointing. That anointing was so strong, it was on his mantle. Just threw it on another man and he felt it immediately. He knew something had happened to him. Oh dear. My goodness, there's a lot of things I'd like to say about Ahab. You know, God is so merciful. Everything I know of what I've read about Ahab, it does not appear that Ahab, in the end, that he really made it to the kingdom of God. I'd be very surprised if I get there and find Ahab is there. God warned him time and time and time. You know have you ever counted? How many prophets encountered Ahab? It wasn't just Elijah. No, here in chapter 20, there's another prophet. He's having trouble with, and there came a prophet to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Well, they gave a victory, okay? This was Syria. Second victory, verse 22, and the prophet, doesn't say who it was, might have been the same prophet, came and said to him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come again. Now, down in verse 28, apparently this is another prophet. And there came another man of God and spake to the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And then there was another prophet. This is the one that was sitting by the wayside, asked another man to smite him, and he wouldn't do it. A lion ended up killing the man. Next guy came along, told him to smite him. Well, the man gave him a very good slap, and he survived. So he went to Ahab, and he told Ahab, verse 42 of chapter 20, he says, Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. This is prophet number 4. And now over again in the meanwhile, Ahab murders Naboth because he wanted his vineyard. You know the story. And Ahab was pouting because Nahab wouldn't sell it to him voluntarily, wouldn't give it to him, wouldn't trade with him. Jezebel says, "Well, come on, you're the head honcho, you're the chief, you're the dictator. It's yours." So she had Naboth killed, stoned, sons of Belial, and. So Ahab is going down now. The vineyard was right next door. He's going down to claim the vineyard. Now the owner's gone. There's no next of kin. It's yours, Ahab. So the word of the Lord, verse 17, chapter 21, came to Elijah the Tishbite. The word of the Lord. Now, Elijah must have been able to hear the still small voice by now. The word of the Lord, amen. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? Hast thou found me, O my enemy? Hast thou found me, O he that troubleth Israel? The Elijah company is considered by the powers that be to be the enemy of the state. You're doing nothing but causing trouble. You're interrupting our new world order. We're preaching peace and prosperity, and you're stirring things up. Now listen to the word. Yes, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and take away thy posterity. Jehu did that. Every male descendant, and from what I read, you go into 2 Kings, I think there were 70 of them. But he must have had a lot of wives. I don't know. They weren't all from Jezebel. They're all going to be killed. And him that is shut up and left in Israel, and I will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Beersheba, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. You know that did happen. Jehu came up to the wall. Jezebel looked out. She had her face all painted up. And he told the eunuchs, who's on my side? Throw her out. And the eunuchs picked her up and threw her out. Jezebel does not have power over the eunuchs. They're not moved by her sexual charms, what have you. Amen. He that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. And there was none like unto Ahab that did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Well, it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, he didn't have Elijah killed. He rent his clothes, put on sackcloth, fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went about softly. And the Lord said to Elijah, see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil. He still did not die in obedience to the Lord. I'll just tell the story. He got together with Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And Ahab said, well, Ramoth Gilead, what, isn't that the name of the place? Yeah, Ramoth Gilead. He said, you know, the Syrians took that away from me, and I still don't have it back. Let's go, let's make a deal together. We'll go back and we'll see if we can't get that back again. So Jehoshaphat said, well, okay, we're brothers, so we'll do it. And of course, now there were 450 prophets that were giving them the good word. Oh, yeah, thus saith the Lord, go and do it. You're going to have great victory, you know. And Jehoshaphat was a little bit uneasy about all that. He said, well, don't you have a real prophet? A real prophet of Jehovah? Well, yes, I've got this fella, what's his name, Micaiah. But by the way, prophet number 5 now coming to Ahab. I have this other guy. He never prophesies anything good about me. He doesn't like me. I don't like him. Well, Jehoshaphat, bring him up. Let's hear what he has to say before we go. And Micaiah, first he mocked. He said, oh, yeah, great victory, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And Ahab knew he was mocking. And he said, look, you're mocking. Tell me what it really is. So here's the word that Micaiah finally said. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. This is verse 17 of chapter 22. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house. In other words, the king is gone. He's dead. He's been removed, no master, no king. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Then he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall, that means die, fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit. It's an unclean spirit, an evil spirit. An evil spirit came to the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, how will you do it? And he said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all those prophets of Jezebel. And he said to them, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so. Are you seeing what happened? The Lord is sending an evil spirit in the mouth of 450 prophets to tell the king, thus saith the Lord, you're going to have a great victory. But it was a lying spirit. Amen? How many believe there are lying spirits out in the land today? Oh my goodness. Working in powers that be, great lying spirits. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Well, make a long story short, the king had him locked up, put him in prison. And the man said, you're not even coming back. Well, Ahab died out in that battle. Ahab died. Jehoshaphat almost died because they thought Jehoshaphat might be Ahab. It was Ahab they were after, really. The one thing, and I mentioned this the other day, the last thing about Elijah, after Ahab, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab and Jezebel, took over for a little while. He got sick, and he sent his servants to to Syria, I believe it was, to inquire of to the god of Ekron. That would be it's where the Philistines area. The god of Ekron to the god of Beelzebub. Get a word from El Beelzebub. Am I going to recover from this or not? The servants met Elijah on the way, and Elijah said, no, go and tell him, since he didn't inquire of God, he's going to Beelzebub. It isn't going to go well with him. And so the men came back. And Ahaziah said, well, what's the word? He said, well, we didn't go. A man met us and told us the word of the Lord and said, don't bother to go. I've got the word. Well, who was he? I don't know. He was a hairy fellow. Oh, that was Elijah. My father never got along with him. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send a SWAT team of 50 soldiers and their captain, and you're going to go down there and you're going to capture that little runt and bring him up here, and we're going to have the word out with him. Well, he sent his SWAT team, and Elijah apparently was up on the hill. He saw them coming, and the king sent, here it is, the captain and 50, and they went up and they said to him, behold, he sat at the top of the hill, and he spake to them, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. Come down peacefully. We've got you surrounded. And Elijah said unto the captain of 50, if I be a man of God. Now there he is again, certifying his calling. If I'm a genuine man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50, And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So Elijah is sometimes referred to as the prophet of fire. He called down fire on that altar. He called down fire on the SWAT team of 50 soldiers coming to arrest him. Burned him right up. You know, this King Ahaziah, he was not a terribly smart fellow. He did it again. He sent another 50. Well, that didn't work. Another 50. Same thing. Call down fire. Like I said, the king was not very smart. Do it a third time. Didn't he have an understanding at all of what was going on? Was he so blind, the spirit of his mother Jezebel in him, that he didn't know what was going on? And the third man came, and he said, look, I don't want to be burned up. Would you come peacefully? And he did. And he gave the man the word, and he went home. And, of course, that man died. All right, Elijah. Elijah was taken in a chariot of fire. Chariot of fire. Let me go back and just read that one little verse here again in Revelation 11, then I'm going to quit. And it says here, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Okay, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. All right, that finishes what I believe to be a description of the coming third Elijah company. Elijah, the prophet of fire. I'm going to turn the recording off. If I can, sorry. Wait a minute. No, here we are right here.